Happy Feast Day, everyone, and happy anniversary, everyone. This is also the anniversary of the choir, you know, the men's choir, 17 years now. Although some of the members weren't even born yet when we started the men's choir. I have a feeling that someone is against our celebration of this great feast and of this Foundation Day. I just learned before starting the Mass that the Facebook has blocked us again on the live stream, so nobody's watching us live now, although they might be able to watch a recording a little bit later. And then not long before that, as I was printing out my notes, I discovered that my printer doesn't work. So I have a very, very faint image of some notes on these pieces of paper. Nevertheless, this is part of the celebration of Mary is also the celebration of her victory in the battle against evil. We know who wins by the power of Jesus. Those who are the children of Mary win. But there's still a battle going on. But let's reflect a little bit on what we're celebrating here. Certainly we're celebrating the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was a period in church history in which people looked at the saints not only as holy people, which they are, but as perfect people, which they are not, or they were not. They're perfect in heaven, of course. They're perfected in heaven. But on earth, they had their imperfections and sins. But for a time, the emphasis in honoring the saints was on their perfection. So for example, holy cards or stories from the lives of the saints made the saints look unrealistically, impossibly holy. Like when they fasted and prayed in their cradles, or when they practiced heroic virtue in doing their household chores and things like that. That's not really what people are like. And our founders, Father Francis, Sister Barbara, they never liked that approach to holiness. They were very well acquainted with the problem of sin, even in holy people, and they knew everybody has a share in the problem of sin. Some have a bigger share than others, but we're all part of the problem. Anyway, in more recent times, as you probably know, the trend in looking at anybody's life, even the lives of famous heroes, is to find their tragic flaws. So in learning about historic figures and all their heroic deeds, we also learn that they did this or that bad thing. This one had a mistress, that one had owned slaves, this one had a very bad temper, that one lied about whatever, his life in the army or something, et cetera, et cetera. There's always something that tries to bring down the heroes. And this approach nowadays applies to everybody, political figures, sports figures, heroes from the past, and even holy saints. And the truth is, everybody does have some flaws. Sometimes more obvious, sometimes not, but everybody has sins. There's no one whose record is perfect. And this explains why the world is in the condition that it's in. So many sins. So many sinners. Now we're up to 8 billion. We've heard about 8 billion people in the world. All of them are sinners. Well, since we're celebrating today the anniversary of the Onweb community, today's our 47th Foundation Day, we can look back over our history as a family and we can find plenty of evidence that we are not perfect. And Father Francis and Sister Barbara would certainly approve of that approach. They hated superficial holiness. They hated artificial evidence or artificial facades of holiness. They knew that to be holy meant to be real. And the reality of human experience is that we are sinners. We are weak. We are broken. we're not perfect, as we must humbly acknowledge. And so we give praise and thanks to God for his great mercy, his extraordinary mercy. God loves sinners. God came to save sinners. But we're all impossible cases. We're all dependent on God, on his grace and his mercy, because we are all sinners. There's no one whose record is perfect except the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today we celebrate the beginning of her life in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. We celebrate her Immaculate Conception. We celebrate that Mary is the extraordinary and unique exception to the rule. That's why it's such a joyful feast day. Something has changed. She really does have no sin. She really does have not even the slightest sin, not even the slightest stain of original sin. Immaculate, no sin, no stain. Now, conception is normally a very mysterious, hidden, secret event, and Mary's was too. After all, nobody knew that she was immaculate when she was conceived, and no one knew it for a long time. But over the course of the years, over the course of the centuries and the history of the church's conviction and the church's certainty about this grace became clear under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And now we can proclaim with absolute confidence, with surety, that yes, Mary is truly immaculate. Well, this means that something very small, something secret, something almost never noticed, has, in this case, become an extraordinary revolution, an absolutely stunning change in human history. Now, you might ask, and you're right to ask, well, what about Jesus? Isn't Jesus the stunning change in human history? Why focus on Mary when Jesus is the key to our salvation? Okay, fair enough, good question. Mary, too, is a recipient of Jesus' saving death and resurrection. But the unique thing in her case is that she is saved ahead of time. She is preserved rather than restored. She is full of grace rather than cleansed by grace. But let's look for a moment at how this worked out. God, when he created everything good, he created everything perfect, he created everything immaculate, certainly. But we know that very early on in the lives of our first parents, sin entered the picture and defiled it all. Stained it. This is the tragic story we heard about in today's first reading, the fall of man and the terrible consequences. Well, now what? Now that the place is all messed up, how can God do a great work here? If it were up to us, of course, we would be tempted to just wipe it all out and start all over, give up and start all over. That's the human tendency. We don't have as much patience as God has. But God had a better idea, of course. He did not give up and start all over from the beginning. Rather, he decided to enter creation himself and start it all over with a new beginning. Establish a new creation. For a new creation, there has to be a new Adam. The new Adam is Jesus Christ, eternal Son of the Father. He existed already before he was conceived. But then also has to be a new Eve, and that's Mary, a new mother of the living, a new starting point for the human family. She didn't save herself. She didn't make herself perfect. She didn't make herself immaculate. God did that for our sake and for her sake. And now, because of Mary, we have hope in her Son. Because of Mary, chosen by God before she was conceived, before time began, chosen, because of Mary, we have a channel through which all of God's grace can come to us. all grace, grace of our baptism, the grace of forgiveness, the grace of faith, the grace of eternal life with God forever in heaven, all grace. Today we celebrate the Eucharist, the most blessed sacrament, Jesus himself, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This grace too comes to us through Mary. We acknowledge that this holy gift comes to us through Mary. All grace does. She's the perfect channel. She's the perfect conduit. She's the perfect shrine. She's the perfect tabernacle. That's why we celebrate today. And the grace of the Annuum Spirituality also came to us through Mary. All grace did. Mary planted in the heart of Father Francis an understanding of how God forms us in the heart of the church through the liturgy. How Mary holds us in her heart, nurturing us as we grow in the image of her Son. Not that Father Francis understood all of that. Who understands all of that? He tried to capture it in images because he was an artist. That's why we have this image of our icon, I should say, of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, and an effort to reveal or to capture or to convey what was planted in Father Francis's heart. And then he followed in faith, and he let himself, trusting in God, he let himself be led by Mary. Sister Barbara too. Mary planted in her heart, well, you know the story, in September of 1975, Sister Barbara heard Mary say to her interiorly, what will begin on December 8th. That was it. What will begin on December 8th. She didn't understand it. She didn't understand it at all. She hadn't even met Father Francis yet. She had no idea that he had anything to do with it. But she went forward in faith, trying to figure it out, trusting in God, allowing herself to be led by Mary. And of course, the rest is history, 47 years of history, 47 years of trusting in God and being led by Mary. So the lesson is clear. God is at work. God is at work, having established a new creation, made a new way for us to live in union with him. We don't have to understand it all. We don't have to understand how he does it. Our part is to put our trust in God and let ourselves be led by Mary, led into the fullness of life in God's new creation.